Good morning and a good night of Shabbos.
Good morning and a good night of Shabbos, Rabbi.
This week's parsha is Parshas Mishpatim. I have to apologize. I did prepare a whole shmooze, if you could call it preparing, but a whole shmooze on Parshas Mishpatim. But I'm not really going to be saying much about Parshas Mishpatim. I'll say a small point, but I'm going to be talking about something else. The great tzaddik of Shimshon Pinkus, Zeche Tzaddik Levracha, I was unfortunately never Zeche to meet him. His sister was actually best friends with my aunt, and I never got to see him. Maybe other Rebbeim, they did get to see Shimshon Pinkus. I'm very fortunate to learn at night a sefer of Shimshon Pinkus with someone here in Yeshiva. Rav Shimshon Pinkus is a tremendous person. His svarim in Hebrew, his svarim in English, they really are transformational svarim. And although I never got to see him in person, I did get to see one video of his. One year, Rav Shimshon Pinkus, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, who lived in the city of Ofakim, came to America and he spoke by the Aguda Convention. I think this was by the Aguda Convention. At that time, there had been some terrible terrorist attacks in Eretz Yisrael. And his job by the Aguda Convention was to speak about the matzav, the situation in Eretz Yisrael. And he got up to speak, and you can imagine, this bus was bombed, that bus was bombed. My brother was in Eretz Yisrael at the time when he heard the very famous, unfortunately, number 2 bus bombing. In 1998, I think it was. Something around then. 99, 2000. I don't exactly remember when it was. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus was there to speak about it. And his first words were this. He got up, and like it says in Parashat Shlach, Perek Yedal Pasuk Zayin, the end of the Pasuk, he said, Toiva ha'aretz ma'oid ma'oid. The land of Eretz Yisrael is very, very great. And then he went on, and you can find this video out there. He went on to speak for perhaps 10 minutes on how tremendously beautiful, incredible, astonishing the greatness is of Eretz Yisrael, the people of Eretz Yisrael, the children of Eretz Yisrael, the Rebbes of Eretz Yisrael, the working people of Eretz Yisrael, the elders, the young people, the weather of Eretz Yisrael, the trees of Eretz Yisrael, the yeshivas of Eretz Yisrael. And he went through it. Toiva ha'aretz ma'oid ma'oid. Only after speaking for 10 minutes on the greatness of Eretz Yisrael was he ready to start talking about the difficult situation that had been going on there at that time. But it needs to start with Toiva Ha'aretz Ma'oid Ma'oid. The land of Eretz Yisrael is very, very great. My Rebbe, who should live in Biwar, B'Shurken, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that it says that when a person is the last week of Shaivavim, like Yasha pointed out, the last week, although it's not the end of the time, when people get to work on their Shmiras Einayim and other Kedusha and Yanim, but in Shaivavim, it's the last week Mishpatim. And the Shulchan Aruch says that a person should stay away from arayas, stay away from inappropriate relationships and seeing inappropriate things. Ma'oid, ma'oid. Ma'oid, ma'oid. My Rebbe says, why does it say stay away from it? Tzarech laharchik imenu, ma'oid, ma'oid. Stay away from it. Ma'oid, ma'oid. Stay away from it or stay away from it a lot. Ma'oid. Why ma'oid, ma'oid? Very, very. And he would say, because if you think that you're far enough from inappropriate images, bad videos, your filter is good enough, you're not far enough. Ma'oid, ma'oid. Go very, very far. Take one more step, because it's still not safe. And the same is true when we're talking about Eretz Yisrael. Toiva ha'aretz ma'oid, ma'oid. When you're talking about Eretz Yisrael, you think you said enough nice things about Eretz Yisrael? You appreciate Eretz Yisrael enough? You think so? Ma'oid, ma'oid. Another step. Keep talking more about Eretz Yisrael. It's the land that Hashem gave us. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the Shvatim, 133 generations ago. That's it. 133 generations. He gave it to them, and He gave it to you, and He gave it to you, and He gave it to you, and it's your land in Eretz Yisrael. Toiva ha'aretz ma'oid ma'oid. And that's how Rav Pinkus started that drasha. The past couple of days have given people the opportunity to chas v'shalom say the opposite about Eretz Yisrael. There is tragic, tragic news a couple of days ago, yesterday. Tragic, but it was really an expression of tragic news that had been 18, 19 months in the process of it. It's bad news. It's terrible news. When, I don't like to call it October 7th, when Simchas Torah, when that massacre on Simchas Torah happened, it started a process that perhaps Eretz Yisrael, is it not Toyva Aretz Moed Moed? Is it perhaps not a tremendously great and beautiful place? Is it not the place that we all want to be? The place that we all want to return to, Chas V'Shalom? I went to Eretz Yisrael during the summer. I was supposed to be there for 24 hours, ended up being there for less, perhaps 15 hours. But I got to be in Eretz Yisrael just to have my feet on the floor there, just to go out of the airport, walk around a little bit, go into the old city, go to the Kaisel, and go to the Kaisel again, and go to the Kaisel again, and go to the Kaisel again. In 8 hours, I spent with my cousin. I went to the Kaisel, I went to Kever Rachel, I went to the back to the Kaisel, I went to my yeshiva, I went to my Rebbe, I sat with him for 2 hours, I went to yeshiva, I went to the Kaisel, I went to Eretz Yisrael. Toivo Eretz Moed Moed. It might seem like there are things not so great. Toivo Eretz Moed Moed. And yesterday people knew that there was going to be some not so great news. And again, it was an expression of not so great news that had already been around, unfortunately. But you're going to know about it right in front of you. I can't even talk about it. I can't say what it was. I'm not capable of talking about it. But you know what I'm talking about. The terrible news about this family, about our family. But Toivo Aretz Moed Moed. Toivo Aretz Moed Moed. People passed away. We spoke, was it last week, 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the young lady, Agam Berger, and her words, Derech Amuna, Bacharti, that she chose a life of Amuna, and how she had transformed her life. Until this day, it's not like she stopped. You're hearing stories about her when she came back, about being Mikadesh HaShabbos. How she came out of that, saying, not, how could Hashem do this to me? But I feel so close to Hashem because He's the one who kept me going through that whole time in caves or wherever I was. And she was, so to speak, one of the lucky ones who came out. But Toivo Haaretz Ma'od Ma'od. Today, we asked a question in class, and somebody said an answer which really I'm going to be thinking about Bez Hashem for years. Shalom said an answer on a question that we had. It is mamish min hashamayim, this answer. It's beyond. This pshat that he gave is beyond. And in a certain way, it's perfect for our time period. The pasuk warns us in this week's parsha, kol almona v'yasam leisa anu, and a person may not mistreat any orphan or widow, chas v'shalom. And it continues. It says, im anes anu, yisai, if a person will mistreat them, ki imtsoik yitzak elai, they're going to call out to me, Hashem. Shamoya eshma tzakas, I will listen to their cries. B'chorev api, Hashem said, I will be angry, which means Hashem will punish. V'arakti eschem b'chorev, I will kill that person with the sword. V'hoyu nesheichem almanes, and this person's wife will be a widow. Uvenechem yisayim, and his children will be orphans. Now, it's a very powerful pasuk, and as we learned, Rashi says, it's not referring to simply orphans and widows. It's referring to anyone who's what we called a bullying target. A person who you'd imagine, oh, that guy, when he goes into high school, he is going to be so bullied. That type of guy, there's a special pasuk in the Torah. If you mistreat that guy, Hashem will, unfortunately, pay this person back very, very severely. And a woman who is in such a similar state, Hashem will pay them back very severely. But we were very bothered. And this is not our question. This is a question that was asked by many, including the Minchas Chinuch asks, The pasuk's talking about not mistreating a orphan and a widow. Two people. A man and a woman. Yet the pasuk then continues, Im ane sa'ane oisai. If a person will mistreat oisai, doesn't mean them. Oisai means him. Ki imtsoik yitzak elai. He will call out to me, Hashem says. Shomoya eshma tsa'akasai. I will surely listen to his cries. Now, on one hand, if there's one of the two, an orphan or a widow, which is more likely to cry, you'd imagine it would be the widow. As the Gemara says, that nashim are closer to tears than to men, than men are. And yet this pasuk seems to imply that if he cries out, then I will listen to him. What happened to the widow? Kalamana v'yasim la'yisanu, any orphan or widow, you don't mistreat. Tzorik yitzah, he will cry out. So there are pshatim that a person can give. Shalom Reed gave a pshat that is beyond this universe. It is so beyond this universe, as great as respect I have for Shalom Reed, I'm telling you that he must have davened, he must have been the chazan this morning in yeshiva, in some exceptional way, for Hashem to send this vart down into his mind. I don't understand where this came. It almost reminds me, before I tell you this vart, it almost reminds me of a very famous story. They say something about the Marshal, about the Beis Yosef, where he was working on a certain topic, he came up with an answer, and then he met somebody, and he asked them the same question, and somebody who was not on the level of the Marshal, Shlomo Luria, came up with the answer. And the Marshal was so, how could he come up? So once he came up with this vart, this other person was able to come, it came down from Shemayim. This answer came down from Shemayim, Shalom Reed's head. Listen to this pshat. He said, you know who it's talking about? Ki im tsoik yitzak, im ane tane oisai. You know what it's talking about? This widow and this orphan, they're missing someone in their life. They're missing their father. They're missing their husband. And you know that husband is now in Shemayim, and he cannot do anything to help out this kid. So when you harm an orphan, and you harm a widow, im ane sa'ane oisai, if you will cause him pain, him in Shemayim pain, ki im tzoik yitzak elai, he in Shemayim, the father, the husband in Shemayim, is going to cry out to me. Shemoya eshma tzakasai, I will surely listen to his cries. Isn't that a beautiful pshat? A beautiful pshat. It is a transformative pshat. You start up with people down here. Don't think that there's not someone in Shemayim who is looking out for them. And that someone in Shemayim is davening. And that someone in Shemayim has a front row seat to the Eibishter. And he's going to go to Hashem and he's going to say, "You, that person down there, he can't start up with my wife. He can't start up with my kids." What a pshat. What a pshat. Each one of us has someone in Shemayim, and he doesn't have to go to anyone. It's Hashem himself. In Tzoik Yitzhak, in Anasana, you start up with us, you start up with him. He will answer, he will punish, he will defend. Like this pshat that Shalom said. Yesterday, the world heard terrible news. And then, if it wasn't bad enough, the news got even worse because of all these disgusting terrorists, whatever it is. How it is that the news got worse, and do your research. And then starts trickling out news. And the news comes along with a huge statement, like I mostly spoke about this morning. Bakaris HaTayef. The news comes out with a big statement. And that statement is, Toiva ha'aretz ma'oid ma'oid. Hashem said, I've got it. In Tzorik Yisrael, I am Anasana Yisrael. You're starting up with me. I'm taking care of the situation. I mustn't share this. I want to share some things about that statement from last night. I'm going to read it straight from here. Last night, I'm reading it from the source. Last night, a young lady noticed a suspicious object on a bus in the center of Israel. She reported it to the driver, who pulled into a station, got everyone off the bus. She noticed something on a bus. I'd imagine when I'm on a bus at night, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. I'm not noticing anything. Perhaps I noticed that sign that says, if you see something, say something. But beyond that, I'm not noticing anything. I am noticing that the wall looks somehow comfortable enough to sleep on at this point. But she noticed something. She reported to the driver, who pulled into a station, got everyone off the bus, at which point the bus blew up and was completely destroyed. But that wasn't the end of it, not even close. Over the hours that followed, an additional 4 bombs were discovered on buses. Some of them exploded, others were taken apart before exploding, some malfunctioned. There were 15 buses that were supposed to explode this morning. According to the reports, the terrorists set the timer for 9 p.m. instead of 9 a.m. In addition to the 15 buses, 5 suicide bombers were set to detonate bombs on the light rail in Yerushalayim at the exact same time, all in the center of Israel. Keep going. Where did this come from? Not Gaza. It came from what's known as the West Bank, Chas v'Shalom, the east side of Eretz Yisrael. They were supposed to enter at that time. They were going to have what they call October 7th, part 2. That was what's supposed to happen. The idea was, is as the buses blew up and the terrorists blew up, all of the security personnel, ambulances, you can imagine, we're all going to have to go to those areas so as to take care of everyone there. At that moment, the security fence on the east side of Eretz Yisrael would have a tremendous invasion. And by the way, in case you don't know, the east side of Eretz Yisrael goes straight into Yerushalayim. That's the east side of Eretz Yisrael. The east side of Eretz Yisrael, which is totally secure and protected. It continues, it continues, it continues. It was supposed to be right during rush hour, 9 o'clock in the morning, in the heart of Eretz Yisrael. I decided, why not have a little fun? I'm curious, what does ChatGPT have to say about this? ChatGPT said like this, and I'll read it straight from ChatGPT. Interpreting the event, a secular or scientific perspective might suggest human error, vigilance, and luck played key roles. A religious perspective might interpret this as divine intervention. That's what it says. I said, what are the chances? 1 in 1 million? 1 in 1 billion? And it goes through. This is 1 in 1,000. This is 1 in 10,000. This is 1 in 33,000. This is this. This is this. The conclusion is, according to ChatGPT, a rough estimate is at least 1 in 1 trillion. Based on these rough estimates, the probability of this entire sequence of events occurring is around 1 in 1 trillion. While each individual event might have a reasonable probability on its own, the combination of all of them occurring in the exact sequence necessary to prevent mass casualties is so unlikely that many would indeed consider it miraculous. Quote unquote from the new Mashgiach of Or Shlomo, ChatGPT. Why am I not losing my free will right now? I feel like my free will should be gone. I just saw Hashem right in front of me. Hashem just said, I did something obviously miraculous. Right in front of me. The whole world watched it. The whole world. Every human being on planet Earth, outside of 14 people in Uganda, every single person on planet Earth knows Hashem just saved the Jewish people. Hashem saved the Jewish people in the month of Shvat. It was a day, Chav Beis Shvat, I'm not sure what yesterday was. I think it was Chav Beis Shvat. Hashem saved the Jewish people. I don't know why. You know what? I asked somebody the other day, do you think, I said, at first I said to the person, do you believe in Hashem? The person said, yeah. I said, do you ask yourself, why is Hashem doing this? Terrible, what happened with his family, and etc. Why? Do you ask yourself why? I don't know. He said, yeah, he does. Someone in the yeshiva. He said, yes, he does ask Hashem why. And he doesn't know the answer. I don't know the answer for this one either. I don't know. Except Shalom's pshat. And Shalom's pshat is, Im ane sa'ane oisai ki im soik itzak elai shamoya eshmetza akosai. Hashem said, I will be the one to answer. I will be the one to protect you. I've got it all covered. Somebody once said to me, you know, the Israeli military, they've got, they're amazing. I said to him, the people, the soldiers, 100%, they're special people. Very many, many, many special people dedicating themselves to protect the other Yidden. It's a tremendous thing. But they literally do not have enough bullets to kill every Arab on planet Earth. If all the Arabs would simply walk to Israel and just all the ones that really, really hate us, which is AKA all of them. But if all of them would come and they would simply walk, Israel doesn't have enough bullets and bombs to shoot them all. They don't have the skill. If you know a little about Israeli history, you don't have to, and you can go back to October 7th, but if you know a little bit about Israeli history, you will see the greatness of the Israeli military is quite a joke. Their greatest military successes were actually their greatest military failures. The greatest military success in Israel history was what? The Six-Day War. If you go do research on the Six-Day War, you will see it is mistake after mistake after mistake, and im ane sano oisai, I will take care of it, because these fellows, they have no idea what they're doing. The Air Force, the IDF, the military intelligence, the Mossad, the Shin Bet, they have no idea. No idea. The only people who know what they're doing in Israel are Israeli taxi drivers. How they survive when they drive, I have no idea. They must have Hashgacha Pratis on them at all times. But beyond the Israeli taxi driver, who will tell you that he knows everything more than everybody else anyway. But besides for that, we have no idea. Except one thing. Ein lonu lishoyin elo avinu shema shamayim. We've got no one else who's taking care of us. When you get to Shabbos this week, and you sing the Zmiras, and if you sing Karibon Olam, Hashem, you're the master of the universe, think, I just saw it. Yom zeh mechubad mikol yom, yom Shabbos and ein lishkoyach. Don't forget, Shalom Aleichem, the Malachim, that are coming to your house. Maybe they have good tidings from their friend, the Malachim, who are in Eretz Yisrael, saving the day. The Geshmak of Shabbos, what an opportunity to turn off the phones, to sit down with a little peace and quiet, and start to actually pay attention to the Kriyas Yamsav we just saw in front of us. Wow. Bez Hashem, you should have a beautiful Shabbos. You should imbue yourself with it. I should imbue myself. I want to lose my free will from this. Be'ez Hashem, we should have a beautiful Shabbos, a delicious Shabbos, Hatzlocha and Bracha, and Yir Shemayim Be'ez Hashem.